north, trying to hit the machine from way down here.
Good evening, Chris. KO4HX. You're a little scratchy, but you're making it.
Say kindly, I'm on 85 north, maybe around mile 30, so I'll try it again in a few miles.
Solid. I mean, I can copy every word you're saying without any trouble. Just got some little scratch with you.
Is that HKX?
That's me, KO4HX.
Mr. Patrick, this is Chris here, KG4ZGS. Just on the way back home from Georgia, visiting the in-laws, so... talked to Gabo earlier, and he mentioned you, so that was cool. He was hitting the Walker Mountain machine in north of Gainesville, Georgia, and he said he might see me over here, too, so we'll see if he gets on tonight.
Bill.
His name is John, but he goes by Gabo, K4WCL.
I don't know, I've met so many people since I got into this hobby, it's hard to keep track of all of them.
He's up in Pickens County, and he was talking about some folks that he's met on the machines locally there, so... Anyway, are you hosting the net tonight, Patrick?
I'm sitting here getting ready now.
Roger that. Well, kind of be arriving at my house right around the time that the net starts, so gotta help my wife unpack and get my son inside and all that kind of stuff, so I may be late to the net or I might be right on time, who knows. This is KG4ZGS.
Chris, we'll be listening for you, but I'm gonna get back over here on the side so I can get everything done I need to before the net starts, but good to hear you. Y'all be safe on your travel there. And we'll keep an ear out for you during the net. KO4HKX.
KO4HKX. KG4ZGS. Thanks for getting back in there to me, but probably see you tonight. 73 is for now.
I won't hold you. N4ZLK.
I hope you and Beth are, had a good weekend. KO4HKX.
Been good. Beth's up in Pennsylvania. She's having a good time with her sister. It started snowing. It's supposed to snow 8 to 16 inches, I think, is what they're calling for where she is. So she was supposed to come back Tuesday. I'm not sure now. I've just been, haven't done anything today, but yesterday Connor came over and we helped me put up some posts and some beams around so we can get ready to start laying the roof down.
I know you've been working diligently on that.
About it a lot on the radio, so everybody thinks I have. It seems to be working out.
I'm sorry for you, do you?
Making everybody think I'm some amazing do-it-yourselfer, getting all kinds of stuff done. It's coming along slowly.
Well, I'm going to jump over here so I can get ready and get this net lined up for it. But good to hear you tonight and look forward to talking to you here in a few minutes. KO4HKX.
You're right, I just wanted to jump in there real quick. And he was talking about John, K4WCL. We've met, I think you've met him or talked to him a couple times. He's our friend down there in Georgia who lives right down the road from me. Anyway, I'll talk to you later. And Chris, KG4ZGS, you still there?
KG4ZGS here. Gabo mentioned you as well. So he mentioned your son-in-law Connor there. So it was nice to check in on his net the other night. I guess that was last night. And it was cool. I was talking to him on the Walker Mountain, north of Gainesville, Georgia. I guess I put it in my radio as Claremont. But he was talking to me from Pickens County through All-Star Node that he's got. And he mentioned you and he mentioned Patrick. So anyway, he said he might come over to this repeater, but he was watching some TV or something. So I don't know if he's out there or not. But anyway, nice to hear you in there, Shane.
on the All, or if he was on All Star, you were probably on the JIJ machine, KA3 JIJ or K3, something like that. Might be getting those call letters wrong. There's another repeater up there, 146.67, the LARC repeater, they call it, Linear Amateur Radio Club. And I used to, that's where I met John. Actually, the first time I met him was on this repeater, but I didn't know. He said he was up visiting from Georgia. This is before he moved. And then I heard him down there and got to know him and a bunch of guys down there when I was headed down to Atlanta every night. So good group of guys down that way. You'll find them all over the place, though. If you get a chance to travel, get on repeaters, there's usually a good group of guys just about anywhere.
Yeah, I had spoken to him a few weeks ago, the last time we came down this way, and I told him, I was like, man, I heard other people up in South Carolina talking about Gabo, and I said, you must be a legend in these parts. And he laughed, and he said, I'm not a legend, I just got a big mouth.
Thanks, Shai. But he's always a good conversation. Sometimes I feel like I tie up the repeater a little bit and probably am a little boring, but John's always interesting to talk to. He's always got a good story.
Yeah, I try not to tie up the repeater, but I don't know. A few weeks back, I got scolded on the SD Heart machine. We had a QSO of, like, I don't know, 8 or 10 guys going. We were sitting there chatting for a minute, and someone came on and said, you're tying up the whole state with your rag chute for the last hour. And I was like, dang, man, chill out. It's all good, bro.
They link them all together on the weekends. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, you leave room, you know, in between your transmissions, and anybody can jump in. That's kind of the protocol. And always be glad to step aside if somebody needs a repeater or wants it, you know, but hey, that's what it's here for conversation. And if the more we use it, the greater the chance we'll get to keep the frequencies, because there's always people lined up waiting to take frequencies from the amateur world. So it's better to use it than to lose it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. You know, I don't want to step on anyone's toes or get in the way or anything. But I like rag chewing with people, as you know, and so it's, you know, plus when you got a big QSO going with like 8 or 10 guys, and it's kind of looping around, be like 2 or 3 of us talking, and we kind of get those other 2 or 3 guys in, and they get the other 2 or 3 guys in, we were kind of circling around, and it was very organic.
Fun and interesting, but it's good if you can, yeah, you know, make it a round table where everybody takes their turn. And I tell you what, those guys, there's a bunch of those guys down there in Georgia. I learned they are really good at that. There'd be a group of them would get on, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And they were very, very aware of who was on frequency and whose turn it was next to go. So it was pretty cool to listen to, even before I started jumping in. But I got something else I was going to mention to you that I was watching a video I thought you might find interesting. But I suppose you, I suppose you're old enough or probably seen the Andy Griffith show. Are you familiar with him? When I was going to ask you this, I thought, sure, everybody knows Andy Griffith, and then I'm like, maybe I'm just getting old, because it was reruns when I was a kid, so, but yes, that is correct. But there was a couple episodes, or several episodes, one of the storylines, there was a family called the Darlings, and they played bluegrass, you know, Appalachian-style music. Did you ever see any of those?
No, I hadn't. No, I'd seen a few episodes of it, like when I was a kid. I watched Nickelodeon, so sometimes it was Nick at Night, and they'd play stuff like the Munsters or Sandy Griffith or Flipper, or, you know, I think Lassie was in the lineup there. But it was before I started playing violin, so I wasn't paying as much attention to bluegrass. I guess if I watched them now, I'd have more of an appreciation.
Was a very good guitar player himself. He would play along with them, but storyline basically was a family, just a mountain family, and there was three or four brothers and the dad and the daughter, and they came to town to marry off the daughter, and basically the dad and the daughter were the only ones that talked, but they could play music, and boy could they play. And I was watching or reading something about them. They were actually a group called the Dillards. They were brand new, a couple brothers that got together and formed this little band and went out to Los Angeles, got heard by an agent. They introduced him to Andy Griffith, and he was looking for them or somebody like them, and put them on the map. And they apparently were a pretty good influence in the country and some of the pop music. There were several artists that were inspired because of them. They're still around, called the Dillards, but it's basically one of the brothers and his wife now that all that's left.
Man, that is awesome. That's cool to learn some of that history. That's really cool. Yeah, man, I haven't thought about that show in a while. Let's see, what else from back in that day? I guess, like, I Dream of Jeannie, but that was in color. Or, like, well, no, it was in black and white, and then I think they colorized it later. And then Gilligan's Island, those are shows like that I remember watching when I was a kid.
Enter more of a director, producer now, Ron Howard.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the name. Couldn't tell you any of his movies, but if you told me some of them, I'd be like, oh, yeah. So, yeah, I definitely know that name.
Blank. I'm trying to think of some, but he was the one that he played little Opie Taylor, Andy's little son, on there. That was his start. Started out at, what, four or five years old. That's how he got his start in television. But anyway, I just thought you'd find that interesting. I didn't know if you'd heard of the Dillards, because they were pretty much the ones who introduced the world, the television world, according to this little historical video or information I was looking at, that they were the ones that introduced the television world to the bluegrass style, basically.
Yeah, that is awesome. Obviously, everybody that knows anything about bluegrass knows Bill Monroe. And he was kind of one of the big early names in it. As much as I know about bluegrass is that it's a product of the 20th century, and it kind of... it's like an amalgamation of, like, old-time music and gospel and a little bit of jazz. And so that, like, I guess bluegrass is more like maybe pre-World War II is when it started. And then it got popular, like, in the 50s and 60s, and it's been popular ever since. But, my fiddle playing, I don't play as much bluegrass music. I play old time and folk music. I play Irish music, and I play for dances.
How many varieties there are even in that genre. But yeah, I love Irish music too. Anyway, I thought about you when I was reading that, or paying attention to that information. Thought you might find it interesting. I suppose you know about, years ago, Beth and I, when we were dating, were in an old antique store up in Delaware, and I found an old banjo, a little four-string, I guess they call them tenor banjos, and it had a Penn State insignia. It was the head was made of skin, and it Penn State insignia, and it had a bunch of signatures on it from the 1920s, just different names with the date, you know, 24, 23, 26, and, I've still got it. And anyway, I took it apart one time, and on the inside of the head, there was one, a signature with a date of, like, 1912, I think. But anyway, I did not realize at the time, but I looked it up, that back in the, you know, 20s and 30s, and you probably know this, but college pep bands, they weren't made of drums and brass instruments. It was generally a lot of tenor banjos, and maybe some drums, too, but they had a lot of all their pep bands for all the college events were all mostly tenor banjos.
I did not know that. That's really cool. Yeah. As much as I know about the history of string instruments, I know that, like, my instrument, the fiddle, was popular because it's small and portable. And when folks were coming over on ships, they couldn't take really big instruments. They could barely take the clothes on their back. So anybody that brought a fiddle, those were highly valued at the time so that people could have community dances and whatnot. And the fiddle came from, you know, Great Britain, Ireland, England. It's originally an Italian instrument, I believe. But then the banjo, I believe, is a descendant of an African instrument called the banjar. And it was a gourded instrument that they strung up. And across the gourd, they had a little drum in it there. So they had fiddles and banjos, and then the Spaniards brought over guitars, and then it all kind of meshed together, and then you get Appalachian String Band.
Seeing how music eras progress, you know, and change over time. But anyway, thought that was interesting, and enjoyed talking with you about music and stuff. But I'll let you go here. Well, that's going to start soon, and I'll let you. I guess you're driving. I think you got your family with you, so hello to them. And hope you had a good trip down there. Be careful coming home. And I look forward to talking to you again, but I'm going to hop off here for a little bit. Chris, be careful. We'll talk to you later. KG4ZGS and 4ZLK.
Roger that, Shane. Yeah, thanks for telling me about the Dillards, and I'll look that up. Right on, man. Good to talk to you, Shane, and we're about to get off the interstate here in just a couple miles. I'm not too far away from home. This is KG4ZGS, and I'll talk to you later, bud.
HKX, KN4, KWA.